to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Tuesday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106 if you would like to respond to anything we're talking about. Still come on the program. Like I said, late addition to the guest roster, Katie Britt will join us in a 10 a.m. block. Also, from the Eastern Shore Republican Women's Club, Judy Barlow and Melinda McGee. And we'll wrap it up with Editor-in-Chief, 1819 News, a friend of mine, Ray Mellick, will join us. So please stick around for that. But joining us now, very excited to bring on my next guest. Got to hear him speak the other night to the Azalea City Women's Republican Club, and I think did a really bang-up job there. Dean Odle, running for governor here in Alabama. Dean, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, well, we appreciate you making time for us. Talk to us a little bit about the campaign. One thing, you may not be well, the polls may not indicate it, but I tell you, I'm impressed seeing a couple of things. You own in the sign game, and you also have a very, very, I think, a very loyal base of support there. That's no small thing.
Right, yeah, we've worked hard. We knew we would be the underdog, of course, and, you know, not having the name recognition or the millions and millions of dollars that my opponents have, we knew we were just going to have to work harder. And so I started very early, and we do have a very dedicated base because they like the issues that I talk about, the things that I want to do and change. And we've got about 300 volunteers, and they work hard, and we have no paid volunteers, zero. And that is just, to me, shows the grassroots support. And also, you know, we have managed to raise the money, and, you know, we're doing radio advertising, some TV, we're doing billboards. But I've traveled, now we're getting close to the 50,000 mile mark of traveling across the state and talking to every kind of group imaginable, all the Republican groups and the gun groups and the grassroots groups, new ones that popped up like Focus on America and Local Alabama. So we're just working hard to get our message out, and I think it's working.
And you're getting around the state. You're getting feedback, though. Are you finding that those issues that you've really made your marquee issues are resonating?
Oh yeah, definitely the issues I'm talking about, like the early treatment protocols for COVID-19, the no shutdowns, no mandates. Talking about too, you know, what we're going to talk about today, that the push that I have that my opponents don't talk about, the push to use the 10th Amendment and the doctrine of nullification to expand our oil, natural gas drilling. And I talk about that. And of course, on the school choice issue, I'm very detailed that I want to do a complete total school voucher program, no strings attached, no state government, central government control over that. So, and that resonates. I mean, even in my district area there in Lee County, the state Senate district, I polled at like 82% on wanting school choice. So the people want these things. Our politicians, some of our rhinos in Montgomery aren't listening, but the people want some things. And I think the people want to be represented by someone that's listening to them. So definitely having good response. I can tell you this much. I can tell you that I don't think the polls are right, because I've been traveling the state since, end of 2020, and every group I've talked to, the vast majority, one thing they tell me, and not necessarily say I'm voting for you, but they say I'm not voting for Kay Ivey. And that's what I hear across the state for months and months. So I think there's going to be a real, a real surprise when we get to May 24th.
Dean, let's talk about what you brought up at the in your speech the other night here in Mobile. You talked about energy policy and pushing back against the federal government. Talk to us for this audience here exactly where you think the state has an opportunity or some kind of opening here to improve the situation on gas prices.
Well, one thing is that we know, the geologists and everybody tells us, I mean, our state, we're blessed. We have an abundance of oil, natural gas, and a lot that we haven't even drilled for. We haven't even started. I don't believe we scratched the surface. And, of course, what gets in the way of some of that, federal regulations, the suspension of federal leases on federal lands, just, you know, federal laws. And what most people don't realize, and I think sometimes even our previous governors and our governor now doesn't realize, is that a lot of those federal regulations and laws pertaining to, you know, that stop us from being able to drill for our oil and natural gas, those are unconstitutional. The federal government does not have that authority. And that's something that we've got to really emphasize. And what I'm talking about is the 10th Amendment. For instance, the 10th Amendment says this: the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. So what that's saying is that the federal government is only authorized to exercise those powers delegated to it. So if it's not specifically in the Constitution as a power given to the federal government, then they cannot tell the states what to do in those areas, and the states can nullify or ignore those laws and regulations. And we could do that in the energy sector with our oil, natural gas, and really begin to prosper. And especially in that Black Warrior Basin there, where it runs down into the poorest, most desperate part of our state that are saying, you know, Montgomery's forgotten us. That part of our state could begin to prosper unbelievably. And, you know, we're seeing it, you know, in Arkansas, where they started drilling for oil in Arkansas, and the towns around there began to just boom and prosper. This is something Alabama needs, and this is a way to actually pay for our infrastructure, roads and bridges and things, without doing toll bridges, without raising taxes, without having the gas tax. We can actually pay for things and start lowering taxes like conservatives and Republicans are supposed to be about. So because I've been talking about this, my opponents have not touched it. Not one of them talked about this issue. I'm starting to get phone calls from CEO of oil companies in other states that are wanting to do business here and are liking what I'm saying about that.
Yeah, it's that I guess, open up the state for that. It's certainly an interesting approach, but you really think, based on what you're saying there, that it could change the state's economy. Maybe not quite Texas, but something along those lines in that direction.
Right. Well, if you think about it, we may not be Texas, but we can definitely, we're not as big as Texas either. We don't have as many people. We're just at 5 million people here in Alabama. But you talk about if we just really went after this sector, this sector of energy, and really, took it all the way, we would see, the increase of jobs here. Again, just prosperity. We would be more energy self-sufficient, not have to worry about supply chain breakdowns or, hacks of pipelines. Those are things that we need to be thinking about, because in the days ahead, the war in Ukraine could expand. China could go and invade Taiwan. Things could get more and more, tense in the world, and we would have some serious problems. And I just think that, as leaders, we should be looking ahead at possible situations that could really, hurt us and prepare for it. I think Alabama needs to get more food secure and everywhere, energy and even pharmaceuticals, because China controls most of our antibiotic supply. So, we could be in trouble if we don't start going down and thinking about how can we produce well and how can we take care of the people in our state if things went really bad in the world.
Joined by Dean Odell. He's running for governor here in Alabama, a Republican ticket. Dean, some of the other issues that have captivated the hearts and minds of voters in this election cycle. Let's just talk about the here and now. What do you think? Gas tax holiday or any kind of rollback? What's your take on how to handle that situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think the gas tax to me was a bad idea from the get-go. Again, I know we need to fix our roads and bridges, but raising taxes always, Ronald Reagan taught us this, and even JFK taught us this. The principle is if you lower taxes, two things happen. The economy booms, and the revenues to the government increase. And so every time you raise taxes, it just hurts the people, it hurts the economy, and I just don't think it was a good thing. And I think now with, Biden's economy here and the hyperinflation and the gas prices going out the roof, it should be repealed immediately. It should be stopped immediately. And again, like I said, I think the answer for us is to go after our oil, natural gas, and do some new things with some clean energy. There's some new technology We're working with a Trump advisor who advised Trump at the White House for years on energy. This guy's got a patent on new hydroelectric technology that you don't need to build dams on rivers. These are things we can implement that are environmentally friendly and would just, again, change the game in Alabama. And we've got to start, again, we've got to start thinking differently because right now with the federal government we have, with the Biden and Harris administration, things aren't looking good. And they want to raise taxes and they, you know, they want to go after our guns. And there's all kind of things that they're planning that's not constitutional and not good for our country. And there's going to have to be governors stand up and say no to the federal government. And that's where the doctrine of nullification, anti-commandeering that Thomas Jefferson, James Madison put forth, that's why governors need to, again, start studying the Constitution and studying the Federalist Papers and find out the authority we have as states and start taking that so we can, so we can remain free. And that's the states are sovereign entities, and we need to get back to that states' rights issue or we're going to be in trouble.
Dean, something else has come up this cycle. A lot of this is probably a product of what the legislature did on the last jet day. Looking at some of these provisions they passed dealing with transgender youth, putting a prohibition on gender therapy treatment, then also looking at the bathrooms, that you have to go to the bathroom at a public school, your birth certificate. Some of this stuff seems like no-brainer, but what do you think? The legislature getting into this, and do you support what they did?
Well, yeah, I definitely support what they did. You know, I don't think that children should be having to be subjected to, you know, hormone therapy or surgery or anything like that until they're adults and they can, you know, make that decision on their own. I mean, that'd be like letting a child go out and buy a gun or whatever. I mean, we have restrictions on things to protect children and let them mature enough where they can make those decisions. Now, I believe after they, you know, after they're 18 and they can actually, you know, be drafted and go to war for us, they should be able to make the decisions on their own. So I'm all about freedom after that. But I think they made the legislature made the right decision on this for children. And, you know, I mean, I agree too that, you know, we've had some bad situations. We've had some, you know, people, some, you know, physical males and, you know, young people saying that they're females and going into bathrooms and then raping girls in the bathroom. I mean, this stuff has been happening. It's been in the news. I just think, we just need to have some sanity when it comes to that. But again, I think we got to remember, even if you don't agree with those lifestyles out there for adults, you may not agree with them or think they're immoral. They still, you know, as Americans, as Alabamians, they have the freedom to do that. And me as governor, I don't want to take anybody's freedom away. But we have a responsibility to protect our children from things that could be harmful or that they might regret or can't reverse, you know, when they are an adult.
One of the things the state does, they spend more money on this than anything, it's education. Public education in this state is, I think for a lot of people, especially based on the metrics, lackluster. Getting schools back in line. The legislature, like I said, they've thrown a bunch of money at this problem, and the schools, at least the public schools in Alabama, seem to languish. Why do you think? Where is the state going wrong here, and where can they fix this?
Well, the state's been going wrong for the last 10 years because they've allowed the Obama's Common Core curriculum, which is a disaster in reading and math. It's horrible. They've allowed that to stay in the schools for 10 years plus. And then, of course, they lied to us and tried to trick us and changed the name to Alabama College and Career Standards. But when you put the comparison side by side, which I thank Eagle Forum for doing that, they put both curriculum side by side, and they only changed a word here or there, an insignificant word. So we still have the Common Core curriculum, and then they doubled down on it with the Numeracy Act this time, given about what it ended up being, like $104 million, whatever it was, to hire coaches to teach teachers how to teach Common Core math. And these are teachers who already have, some of them have master's degrees in math, yet they can't teach the Common Core math because it's such a messed up way of doing math. And that's why we're 52nd in math. So the number one thing you have to do is truly remove the Common Core curriculum and whatever name they try to slap on it, you know, and really get that out of the school system. And then I believe school choice is the answer, because in Florida, and I did the research on this, Orlando Sentinel and other groups, they were ranked 29th in K-12 education in 2017. And then, you know, DeSantis comes in, he gets rid of the Common Core curriculum, and then he expands the school choice programs to make 56% of their families eligible for school choice. And what happens? They go from 29th to ranked 3rd in K-12 education in less, you know, really less than 4 years. So we could do that here, and that's what I want to do. I want to take it even further. I want to no strings attached. I want to go much higher than 56% of our state eligible. And we would see the transformation of our, you know, of our K-12 education here, because you would get the state out of it and you'd get the bad curriculum out of it. It's not rocket science here. We can do this. If Florida could do it, we could do it and go even further. We found that throwing more money at it has never fixed it. Mississippi spends more money per child. I mean, we do spend more money per child than Mississippi, and yet they're ranked higher than we are. So money is not always the answer. Especially if your system is broken, you can throw more money into the dumpster fire. It's not going to put the dumpster fire out. So that's, we've got to drastically change what we're doing.
Dean, we're up against a break here. Before we let you go, folks want to find out more about your campaign. You got a place to get, they could get in touch or go check out.
Yes. Just go to Dean Odle. That's DeanOdle, Dean Odle for governor. .com, and you'll get all the information you need right there. And just remember, May 24th, we're just 36 days out from the primary. So we would love everybody to check us out and hopefully vote for us on May 24th.
Dean, we appreciate your time. Let's talk again soon.
Thanks, Jeff. Enjoyed it.
All right, guys, we got to get a break in here. We will be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.